You don't, I got you on record. You say something. This is Hakoda. His first words on our church tape.
Say hi, buddy.
I see the mouth opening. There he goes. He's going to speak. There we go. Hey, man. I got something out of you. Hey, man. We got that on tape. Everybody's going to hear that now. All right. First Chronicles 28:9. Anybody need a sheet that left theirs at home? Amen. Again, we've got about one more month, and then we'll get our new books, Maximizing Our Marriage. That's going to be a blessing. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. And for the next several weeks, though, we'll be finishing this up. Making Right Choices in Marriage. 1 Chronicles 28:9 is where we're going to start at. Ms. Hamblin is not here today, so you guys will get a freebie. 1 Chronicles 28:9 is a good, good verse that you want to commit to memory. Amen. How many have not gone on vacation yet, but you still plan on going on vacation before the kids go back to school? Anybody? Amen. Nobody? You still got to go on vacation?
They're in LA now. I don't know if
we're
going to be coming here,
so they find out
sometimes this month.
Oh, whether you go there or he comes here?
Yeah.
Amen.
His dad wants him to come over here instead of going
there. So. That saves money, too. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, for most of us, school starts up next month. You know, I remember back when I was growing up, I think we got out right around Memorial Day. And we didn't start back up till after Labor Day. What happened to that? I mean, so we had all of June, all of July, and all of August. So we had three solid months off. Now the kids get out in May and they go back in August and they ain't gonna get any time off, amen, before you get into a good routine. But amen, 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. We're gonna read that together and then finish up talking about Achan and then start talking about Joshua and these choices as we consider what are our choices, where are our choices taking us. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Everybody that gets turned over there, we're going to read that.
Pastor, do you need water?
Do you have enough water?
It went down the wrong way.
But you have enough?
Anybody need a sheet? All right, 1 Chronicles 28:9. I think I have recovered. Hey, let's read that together. Here we go. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. A loaded, loaded, loaded verse. And one that I hope we're all trying to commit to memory. We're actually going over this with our children as well, trying to get that into their hearts now. Looking at the concordance, seeing what some of those big words mean, trying to explain those big words to them so they understand what that verse is talking about, because that is actually the goal of our heart as it was for Solomon, David's to Solomon, his son. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll kind of cover a few things this morning. Lord, thank you for the grace you've given us. Thank you for this verse. Thank you for allowing us to look at several biblical characters and their lives, Lord, like Achan. We'll see Joshua today, Samson, Abraham, Eli, Lot. Lord, we've learned much from these men and their lives and their family lives. Lord, help us to glean and gain some more insight today from Achan, his life, and also from Joshua and his life. Lord, we may lead a life that's going to be pleasing in thy sight. Bless now today and the things that we think, the things that we say. Bless our discussion, Lord. May we really mull over and, Lord, evaluate our own choices and what they're doing in our own lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord, having hands upon those who are away from us now. Bring them back safely in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, 1 Chronicles 28:9. Look at a couple things in this verse that we've had you memorize for the last few weeks. It says, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. So David is encouraging Solomon to know, embrace, and have his God. Now, how many of you were raised in Christian homes? I think only two last time, Kayla and Michelle. So what David is saying is, I know a lot about my God, but David, Solomon, I want you now to know my God as your God. And that's our goal as well. We want our children to know our God. And he goes on to say, not only do I want you to know him, he says, but then serve him with a perfect heart, or a mature heart, a complete heart, or a heart that is going to embrace everything about God, take it in, and mull it over. And he says, not only serve him or work for him with a perfect heart, but with a willing mind. He says, you've got to want to do this upstairs, first and foremost. It's got to be something that you want to do, not something, Solomon, that others have to prop you up for. By the way, once your kids get out of the house, if they don't do this with a willing mind, they're not going to serve God. It's just a fact of the matter. They will go when they want to or when they feel like it. They're not going to go when they know it's right to do, if their heart's not in it with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And he says, this is the reason why, Solomon. He says, the Lord is going to search your heart. He's going to find out what you believe. He's going to understand your heart. He's going to understand all your imaginations or the thoughts that you have in your mind. And he says, so if you seek him, he will be found of thee. He says, Solomon, you know what? God knows you anyway, and God's going to examine you. He's going to evaluate you. So I want you to have my God as your God. Serve him, and serve him with a perfect heart, and serve him with a willing mind. Want to do this. He said, because God knows whether you're in this or not. By the way, did Solomon do this in the beginning of his reign? Yeah, he did. But what happened halfway through his reign? Anybody remember? He did a cardinal sin. He multiplied two things, and one of those things took his mind away. What did he do?
Wives.
He multiplied wives as well as horses, and the wives had strange gods, and the wives took his attention away and kind of took all of his affections, and he was no longer with a perfect heart. He had a divided heart, and they took that away, and he had he didn't have a willing mind now, because I've got all these wives. Guess what? I've got to tend to them, and their ways are going to rub off on me. Husbands, we may not think so, but our wives rub off on us. Steve, you're going to become more like Crystal. Josiah, you're going to become more like Kayla. I'm going to become more like my wife. Now, they're going to become more like us as well. But we rub off on each other, and our ways start rubbing off. When I married my wife, I used to say pop. I'm from the Midwest. And so when you drank soda, Coke, or anything, it was called pop. I met her. She's from the East Coast. They said soda. What do you think I say now?
Soda.
Because I listened to her say soda. There's only two of us in the house, and she said soda more than I said pop. And so now I say soda. I don't say pop. And so now when I call back home and talk to my dad and he says pop, I think, man, that sounds strange. But that's because I've been married to her now for over 31 years, and she's been saying soda. Now I say soda. So the wives rub off, and these wives that Solomon had rubbed off on him. And so David is saying, look, early on, I want to warn you about some things. If you don't have God for your God, if you don't know him, if you don't have a perfect heart in serving him and a willing mind, and if you don't try to serve him in that capacity, God searches, he understands, he knows your thoughts, he knows your imaginations, he knows what you're doing on the inside of you. And he says, this is what I want you to do, Solomon. Notice this, if thou seek him, he'll be found of thee. Now, why did he have to tell him that? Because David himself sometimes made some bad choices. And David had to go and make sure he sought after God again after he fell in sin. He says, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now, they were in Old Testament times, we're in New Testament times, so it's different. God's not going to leave us nor forsake us, but he will not be able to bless a part of our life that's attached, a promise of his word is attached to it. Because he said, if you don't do it, you're going to get the promise, okay? So that's why David is being such an influence on Solomon at this point. And that's why we, too, have to be an influence on our children to make sure that they understand that very crucial of a verse. Amen. All right, let's go now back to our sheet. We were covering several things. Joshua chapter number 8 is where we were at before. I'm sorry, Joshua chapter 7. And last time we talked about some of the choices that Lot had made. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. And on your sheet, page 5 here, it says, where are your choices taking you? Was number C. A was marriage is made up of choices. B was choices having a cumulative powerful effect on life. Then C, where are your choices taking you? And there are several questions there. Question 1, are your secret choices moving you in a positive direction toward a successful marriage? 2, have you become aware of the choices you are making? And then 3, do you see they have a secret power in your life? And that's what we're considering Achan on his family ruin or family rest. By the way, did he bring his family ruin or rest? Ruin. Ruin. Amen. Several things, and I gave you these D words last time. I gave you disobedience. I gave you defeat. I gave you dismay. I gave you disgrace. And then I gave you death. And we began looking at some of those. And so let's just review those right off the bat. How did Achan disobey God in verse number 1? How did he disobey God? What did he do? Anybody remember?
Where are we, Pastor?
Joshua chapter number 7.
Thank you.
And verse number 1. Sorry about that. Okay. And according to verse 1, what did Achan do that was disobedience?
He didn't go back to where God told him.
Did what?
He didn't go back to where God told him to go.
Joshua 7:1. He didn't go. Well, he took something he wasn't supposed to do. That's what he did. So you were close on that one. He took something he wasn't supposed to, and this was some things that were dedicated to God. God said, when you go in, don't touch any of this stuff. It's all dedicated to me. Don't you touch it at all. He went in and he took it. That was his disobedience. And verse number 5 was the defeat to Israel. And what kind of defeat was this? What happened to them as a nation in verse number 5? What was that? Hearts of the people were melted, and they were melted because what happened early in the verse number 5? They lost the battle and 36 men died. Now, I don't know about you, but if it was my fault and 36, just think about it, Brother Josiah, you guys are going out to battle in Iraq. And you issue all the guns, but you forget to give them ammunition. And all the guys without ammunition got killed. Wouldn't you feel bad about that? Yeah, man, you feel horrible about that. Achan should feel bad about this because 36 men lost their lives because he disobeyed God. And we said that this kind of a decision or a choice, when you disobey God, did God come looking for Achan in verse 1 or did he come looking for Israel? Who did he say sinned? He said Israel sinned. So when we do something as a family, oftentimes the whole family suffers for that. By the way, if your children do something wrong, who gets blamed for it?
Parents.
Normally. Parents.
Yeah.
Parents. We were just coming to church this morning, and I teach my kids very, very, very vehemently about littering. And that there was a man rolled his window down, threw some trash out. They said, ooh, daddy, look, he's littering. And I said, shame, 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 you ruined your daddy's name. I mean, you say that when you're just a kid. We don't want to say that. We say, shame, 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 you ruined your daddy's name. That's a disgrace on the family. Somebody didn't teach that man that you ought not litter. Amen. And so the whole family got blamed for this choice of disobedience in verse number 1. Coming down to verse number 5, the whole tribe of Israel suffered now because they lost the battle. They got defeated. And then you come down to verse number 7. You see the dismay to Joshua. Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? He said, man, did you just bring us here to destroy us? Would God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan? He said, we should have stayed with the other 2.5 tribes. Why did we come this far? He's in a dismay. Well, Lord, what happened? Oftentimes when something happens, say the wife goes out and spends up all the money on the credit card, and the husband gets the bill. Or maybe husband goes out and spends all the money, and wife gets the bill. I say, what happened? We don't have money for the baby. We don't have money for the shoes. We don't have money for this or that or the other. And there's a dismay. That's a choice. And they made a choice here, and Joshua's at a dismay here. And we talked last week, we said there's several things that you and I can do within the family relationship that can cause a dismay, that can cause a defeat. And it's all from disobedience oftentimes. Then come down to verse number 8. That was the disgrace. He said, "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back before their enemies?" They were supposed to be marching forward. And Joshua said, what's going to happen if they turn around? There's going to be a disgrace here because we're supposed to have conquering power to conquer this land. So there's a disgrace there. And I asked the question, what sort of things can cause disgrace in the family? Sometimes it's bad financial matters. Sometimes it's our children. Sometimes it's a wife. Sometimes it's a husband. Sometimes it's choices that we make individually that collectively hurt the family. And so there are some things there as well. And then the last thing we were coming up to is down in verse number 24. Actually 23. Well, actually, let's go to 21 to get you the understanding. To help Joshua, or to help Achan in his choice-making capacity. Notice what it says in verse 11. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the cursed thing. Now, again, who gets the blame here? Israel. Who did the sin? Achan. What am I saying? Oftentimes, a husband or a wife can make a decision or a choice, and it's going to affect the whole family. Okay? What type of choices can a husband or wife make that can affect the whole family? Of course, we know finances. What else?
Cheating.
Cheating? What kind of cheating? Financial cheating or taxes?
Cheating. What's the word?
Adultery. Extramarital relationships?
That's
yes.
That's it, yeah.
Those things. Let me show you something else. We had, what is that called, honey? ID fraud. We went to go file our income tax. And somebody used my wife's social security number to file a bogus claim against us. That was neither her fault or my fault, but guess what? It affects the whole family. We still don't have our claim. They just sent me a letter last week. It's going to take about 180 days to get this resolved. I thought 180 days. Now, it's not my fault. It's not her fault. Somebody has fraudulently used her ID to file a tax claim. So now it's affecting our family, but it's out of our control totally. So how do you reconcile with that?
Trust God.
Trust God, amen. You gotta trust God, and you know, you start putting in safety measures as well, you know, because we don't carry our social security card with us. So, and we try to shred everything. So how in the world does somebody get our, we don't know. Yes, Lou?
Pastor, first time we bought a cell phone, and someone get through his, before that, it was been third time, and before it was one of the, I guess Verizon employee, gave it to my husband, two of my stepson, get a cell phone and use my husband. Social Security. They were kids back then, so they have no idea it's causing. And then my husband thought, you know, like, I bought a cell phone. I said, I never bought a cell phone. I never want to have a cell phone. But then they find out it's coming from the investigation. So, after the kids, and the second time, it wasn't his kid. It was some new company. For the Verizon, some Apple company went through his. He asked me again, honey, did you buy a cell phone? Someone get it and come in the mail. They said, two cell phones. He was just thinking like for me and Shane. And I said, no, but then Shane don't have a cell phone yet. And I said, I don't know. And I said, you bought me a cell phone. I haven't bought any cell phone for you. And find out, you know, the company. And it was just, he was mad. You know, he blamed everything on me. And the second time, like not too long ago, when we renew, all the time he renew our, you know, cell phone from the Verizon, he always get, and this time I think it was more than that, and he was just mad, and I told him, and I said, worry about it, honey, and I said, you're not gonna pay, and I said, you know, and I just pray, and I said, God will take care of everything. So, he get mad and don't want anything about the cell phone, you know, why this is happening and all this stuff, and I just talked to him, making sure his blood pressure went up and his face is all swelling up and mad, and you know, why did you get all this stuff? it's happening. And I said, well, sometimes, you know, people go through all your, you know, social security. And I said, just be nice, and there's no reason to get upset. I said, the company will fix it for you.
Amen.
And then he calmed down.
Amen. Sometimes it's not our fault. It's not a choice that we made.
Right.
It's
yeah.
a choice that happened because of circumstances, you know. And yeah, like Ms. Dahl said, you just got to trust God. Amen. But it could be finances. It could be an affair. I mean, it could be something our children do. It could be something your boss does that affects you. Maybe your boss lays you off. I mean, there's a lot of different choices that can happen in our lives that can affect the whole family here. In this instance, it's a sin here. Verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing. And have also stolen and dissembled. By the way, those words there, dissembled, means they took it and they concealed it. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Now, the whole tribe is getting the blame. Notice verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. So God said, look, you know, they've done this, and I'm not going to bless you guys until you get rid of that accursed thing there. And it's hidden somewhere within Israel. Now, Joshua doesn't have a clue who has it. How'd you like that? Somebody's guilty in your family, and you don't know who the guilty party is, and nobody's fessing up. What would you do? Carmen, what would you do? You blame your husband? You blame your daughters? You blame your dog? You know what I'm saying? Gotta blame somebody. Amen. Kayla, you blame Hakoda? You blame Josiah? Blame the dog? Blame the fish? I mean, what do you do? You know, you don't know what's going on here. So there are certain times when certain things are going to happen and somebody's going to be guilty and you may not know who it is. You know, what do you do? When you don't know who it is, start accusing? Like Scott did. Lily, it's you. You got those cell phones. Yeah, you can't start accusing. Because you don't know. What's the best thing to do? Huh? Pray. Ask what, exactly what Joshua did. Joshua went right to God. He said, God, what's going on? God said, somebody has done something in this camp. And I'm blaming all of you until you figure out who it is. So it's a choice that somebody has made. That's a bad choice. So, and sometimes you're not going to be able to figure it out. Come down under verse number 13. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. By the way, he was supposed to say that. Now, don't you think that Achan hears this? How do you think Achan is feeling? Guilty? Could be.
Nervous?
Could be. Doesn't Achan know where it's at? It's in his tent. It's hidden in his tent. And God's told him, Joshua already, it's concealed. It's in somebody's tent. It's concealed. So how do you think Achan is feeling right about now? How do you think Achan is feeling about his mother or his wife? And his children. You think he's afraid? You think he's nervous that he's about to be found out? What did Moses say? Be sure your sin will what?
Find
you out. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm aching about this time, I think I'm going to have a midnight meeting with Joshua while everybody's asleep. Joshua, let me talk to you. You know, I'm the guilty party here, so let's not embarrass everybody. Let's just deal with this offline, just me and you. Did he do that? No, he didn't. He didn't do that at all. Notice verse 14. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be bought according to your tribes, and it shall be the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. The family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. So he still has a chance to come as he's coming by tribes, as they're coming by families, as they're coming by household, as they're coming man by man, he still has a chance. Notice verse 15. And it shall be that he, notice it, now God is narrowing it down. He's not saying the tribe anymore. He that is taken with the accursed thing shall be what? Burnt with fire. He and all that he had, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he had wrought folly in Israel. Now, that part there is God is speaking. And now he still has the chance to come forward. Notice verse number 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, bought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, of which Achan is, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, And he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, of which Achan is, and Zabdi was taken. Now, as it's getting closer, what if I was to say, okay, one of you guys in here is guilty of such and such, and then I said, okay, all the ladies, you know, are gonna start going, oh, it's not you, it's not you, and I start going to everybody, and then there's only like about three of you left. Don't you think you should fess up when there's only three of you left, or you still think you wouldn't get found out? How many of y'all do that to your children? Who did such and such? And then process of elimination, you start saying, okay, you're out. You're out. And you know, some kids should fess up. How many kids normally fess up when you start doing process of elimination? Normally they don't, do they? Yeah. They wait until you find them out. Why do they wait until you find them out?
I still have hope. It might be somebody else.
It might be somebody else. It's the age old Adam and Eve fig leaf thing. You might not see that it's me. God might not see that we're naked, and so we'll tie these fig leaves and try to pretend. All they had to do was fess up, but God called them out. He's calling them out one by one, tribe by tribe, and they had a choice. He could have fessed up, and he didn't. Notice that it says down there in verse number 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, because they are, verse 18. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. So he still really doesn't know what he has. Only thing that Joshua knows is that somebody took something that doesn't belong to them, and God's angry, and he's blaming us all, and 36 people died. And so now he's investigating this, and he says, what happened? And Achan answered, verse 20, and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Notice, here we go. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Okay, that's the first part. What sin did Achan fall prey to that helped his choice? There's three. We call it the lust of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the what?
Eyes.
And what's the last one? The pride of life. Which one of those three did he get caught by, number one?
Eyes.
When I saw. So the first choice that Achan could have made is maybe protected his eyes and said, you know what? I know what I see, but I know I can't have it. What am I saying here? Whether I'm a lady or I'm a man, if I see the opposite sex, I'm attracted to them. What I should say automatically is, I know I see them, I'm attracted, but I know I can't have them. If I see some money, there's some money here, I see it, I'm attracted to that money, but I know I can't have it. I see this car over here, I'm attracted to this brand of car, but I know I can't have it, it's out of my league. I see this house here, I want this house, but I know I can't have it, it's out of my league. He should have done something with his eyes, first of all. What got Samson in trouble? His eyes. He saw that woman. What did God put out at the end of Samson's life? His eyes. What should have happened here with Achan? First and foremost, he got caught by the lust of the eyes. He should have saw those things and said, you know what? That belongs to God. I cannot touch that as much as I want. By the way, are we going to see some things and want certain things? Of course. I mean, ladies go window shopping all the time. You know, you get into trouble when you stop window shopping, you start purchasing. I mean, hey, you know, you can dream all day long, but when you start purchasing, now you got problems. You know, especially when you purchase with money that's already spoken for. Yes,
Lily? Yes, Pastor. My husband always makes me think about it, and especially when we come to Costco shopping, and he always whispering and Shane, is your mom's going to come again with us today? And Shane said, I don't think so, because mom knows that if she goes, it's going to be a big bag for us to spend. And I said, okay, honey, you guys go. But to make it sure that thing that I write in the list, you pick it up. And then he come home, he was just, you know, he gets so excited coming home from Costco and Shane. And I said, where's my stuff? And then now you have to make two trips or three trips, going to Target, going to Walmart, or going to commissary, whatever, of price. And I said, because you're not getting what I need. And then he would ask me, like, what's for supper? I said, you went to shopping. I'm not with you, so what am I gonna make for dinner?
Amen. Amen. So he saw this. Give me some feedback. What could he have done to avoid that problem there, going in there and seeing that stuff? Because obviously it was attractive for him. By the way, could he have used any of it anyway? He couldn't use the garment. As soon as he put the garment on, what was everybody going to say? That's a Babylonian garment. Where'd you get that from, Achan? So he can't wear it? So, I mean, what use is it to wear? I mean, what good would it done to take it? I can't wear it. As soon as I wore it out, you know, I take some guns from the army at the SPs, and it's got the big SP on it. And I come around Josiah. I can't wear it around him because it's got SP on it. I can't wear it on base anywhere. I can't wear it anywhere. Everybody, what does that SP stand for? It stands for Sam Police. I don't know. You know, you got to make up stuff. So he can't wear it anywhere. So how could he have avoided this dilemma here, making this choice?
Accountability.
Huh?
Accountability.
Accountability. Yes, have somebody account for him. Hey, look, you know, let's make sure. Let's do the buddy system. You don't take anything, I won't take anything. We see it, we know it's good, but let's not take it, amen? How many of y'all like to work at Fort Knox or the money printing place? And you see money all day long. The temptation to steal is great. If you're, you know, working at the printing press that actually prints the government's money, I mean, you're like, man, I can take this money. Nobody ever mentioned it. Somebody actually did that in the military. A guy that worked in finance, I don't know if you remember this, Josiah, it was probably this before your time. A guy in the finance department was taking, I think it was 5 cents or 2 cents from every military member. And it was going unnoticed. Who's gonna miss 2 cents, 5 cents? Then he got greedy, he upped it to 10 cents. That's when they found him. He was getting money from every service. Can you imagine getting that kind of money from every service member?
That's a lot
of money. But then he got greedy and started getting a little bit more. What happened? Accountability should have been there, okay? What else? Why? How could he have prevented making this choice? He saw this, he's got the lust of the eyes down. How can he have prevented the lust of the eyes trap?
He should wear like dark glasses so he can't see
nothing. Wear dark glasses, amen? Put the blinders on, yo. They say, see no evil, speak no evil, do no evil, amen. Some blinders, maybe, amen, possibly, you know, hey. The Bible says if you got an appetite of food, he said put a knife to your throat, amen.
Get another job. If you feel that tempted, you're and you go like you can't control it, you need to make a change.
Get another job, amen. So the lust of the eyes he gets caught with. Then notice down here, then he says, I coveted them and took them. Okay, so now he's not only got the lust of the eyes, now he's got the lust of the flesh going on. I coveted them, the lust of the flesh. I think this can help me out. Could it help him out? No. He can't wear the Babylonian garment. The 200 shekels of silver, okay, yeah, he might be able to spend that. The wedge of gold, where are you going to take a bar of gold to? I mean, they didn't have like we have today, so you got a bar of gold, what are you going to do with it? Where'd you get that from? It's got B on it, stands for Babylon. And we're Israel, so our money's got I. So where'd that B come from? So he's got this gold, and he says, I've got this silver. He said, I coveted them. Now, covetousness, where does covetousness come from? If I covet something, where does covet come from? Because he said, I coveted it. Covetousness says, I want what you have. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not what? Covet. Why is covetousness a bad thing for us?
At least a discontentment.
Discontentment?
So you're not happy with what you have.
Not happy with what I have? Something else. What other danger will go into that? Covetous. If I covet, I'm prone to do exactly what Achan did. What did he do?
Yes.
He took it. If I covet something, it's going to put within me an intense desire to want it. And given the right opportunity and the right circumstances, I'll take it. He had the right circumstance, he had the right scenario, he had the right setup. Everybody's in the battle, everybody's fighting, everybody's occupied with doing fighting stuff, and he looks over and says, hey, nobody's there. Mm-hmm. He took it. So now he's got covetousness going on, and then because he had the lust of the flesh going on, and then because he coveted, he took them. It took control of him. He says, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. I can't spend it, so I had to bury it. It's in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. I can't spend the silver either. So now we've got a problem here. Hold your finger there. Go to Mark chapter 7, verse 21. I'll show you a verse here real quick. Mark 7. Now he's making some bad choices here. He's gotten caught by the lust of the flesh. Now he's got covetous going on. Now he's stealing. Thou shalt not steal. So he's not doing good in the commandment department. Mark chapter 7. And notice verse 21. Yes?
I was going to mention that, it's good to have a verse to help you. You know, a lot of times, first thing we want to do is run. But it's really good to have, grab a hold of verses when you're struggling with something.
Amen.
And have it right before you. You know, like, I used to always lust to be lazy. You know, I just wanted to be lazy, you know. And I had this one special place in the house that, you know, when I felt sad or something made me, you know, upset, I wanted to go right to that one little place. And I put a verse there to, you know, remind me, you know, it was like, you better not do it. You're being lazy now because that's sin against God. But I would look at that verse all the time and it said, go to the ant, thou slugger. It's like, oh, felt like I was getting hit in the heart. But and consider thy ways and be wise.
Amen.
So a verse, a lot of times, can really, really help us if we keep that before us.
And that is a good point. A verse would really be good, because if Achan would have had thou shalt not covet, that could have helped him. If this is a sin against God. If he had thou shalt not steal, that would have helped him. Yes, ma'am?
I find it interesting that one of the commandments is actually thou shalt not covet, because covet is actually a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because coveting leads to breaking of other commandments. Coveting, so he says that desire, that heart issue is the problem, is the sin. So Achan not only broke that commandment by coveting, but he also acted on what led to breaking other commandments, stealing.
Right.
And any type of coveting you do will lead to breaking of another commandment, adultery. Stealing, lying, murder.
Amen.
All of those will lead to breaking the commandment. I just find it interesting the Lord condemns a heart issue, whereas most of the rest of the commandments, or the ones right before it, deal with actual physical issues.
Amen. And that's why I had you guys turn to Mark 7. That's a good point. Mark 7, notice verse 21. That's the reference point that I was going to make, is that Achan's heart was not in the right spot. Because notice what Mark 7 says in verse number 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man defileth the man. From within, notice this, out of the heart of men proceed what? Evil thoughts. He had to see this. I see this evil here, and I want to take it. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. He stole, thou shalt not steal. Covetousness, he said, I coveted. Wickedness, deceit, I deceived, I dissembled, I hid it under my tent. Lasciviousness, that's a immorality there, sexual sins there. He says, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, amen. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So Achan, in other words, had a bad heart. He should have had his heart in check, like Mrs. Dawson said. He should have had some verses to check himself to say, look, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. I'm not supposed to do this. But he didn't have the verses in his heart. Because now the Bible, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so Achan here now has had a bad heart because all these things were inside of him. And given the right opportunity, by the way, never discount how Satan will set you up. Satan knows your weaknesses, and he will make the opportunity great for you to sin and to be able to sin. Amen. And God also knows your weaknesses, and he will avail you with all the tools and the resources to get out of 10. What does it say? There hath no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes I just need to run. Sometimes I need to have a verse. Sometimes I need to stand my ground and say, you know what? I'm not going to do it because I don't have to do it. I have a choice. And so Achan had a choice. His heart was bad, and he got overwhelmed with the decision that he made. So go back over there and let's finish this out. Joshua chapter 7. So when he saw it, he was already in danger. When he coveted, the danger increased. And then he took it. He said, and behold, it's hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. We're still in Joshua 7 and verse 21. verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers and they ran into the tent, and behold, notice this, it was in his tent and the silver under it, just like he said. And verse 23, they took them out of the, notice this, and they took them out of the gold and the silver and Babylonian garment, took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel. Now, this had to be the longest wait. Here Joshua sends some men to go to the tent to get the stuff. Here Achan is standing next to Joshua in the hold, so to speak. What do you think Joshua's thinking about? How dare you put this on us? I hope these men don't come back with anything. And what's Achan probably thinking? They're going to come back with something. They're going to come back with that Babylonian garment, with that gold and that silver. I'm toast. Think about running. I mean, he wouldn't get far. They'd get some bow and arrows out there. Get him in the back. Amen. I don't know about you, but I couldn't be Achan. Amen. And that, now think about it. You have just made a bad choice in the family. The whole family's been affected now, and the truth is about to come out. How would you feel? I wouldn't feel good. I would feel like Fred Flintstone shrinking down, and I'm ready to run out. All of Israel's looking at you. You're standing up there. Okay, thanks, brother. All of Israel's looking at you, and they're going, and you have to wait. That's like when your parents tell you you're going to get in trouble, and you got to wait until they get home. And so, notice verse number 23. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and who? His sons, shows us a family affair. And who? His daughters. And who? His oxen. Not his poor animals got to suffer. And his asses and his sheep and his tent. The poor tent's got to suffer. And all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Notice he didn't wait for an answer. Achan, why did you do this? Achan's not coming up with any kind of reply. Achan's just kind of sitting there, I guess. Amen. He says, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. So his whole family now is suffering because of the bad choices that he made. He disobeyed. He brought some defeat to the nation. He brought some dismay to Joshua. He brought disgrace to the nation. And so now he gets death. It says down there, they raised over him a great heap of stones this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. But God was satisfied. And God says, okay, I'm satisfied now. The sin is gone out of the camp. By the way, let that be some encouragement to us. If there is something in our lives, confess it. Get rid of it. And then it's over. I mean, we can start anew. Don't conceal it. Don't hide it. Don't hold on to it. Confess it. Get it over with and go on. Amen. We all are going to have mistakes. We're all going to make some boo-boos in life. We're all going to do some things that we regret doing. We face it. We admit it. We confess it and we go on. Don't think about it. Don't mull over it. Don't dwell on it. Don't keep bringing it back up. Amen. Just get rid of it and go on. Amen. There's nothing that can be done about it anymore. Amen. And so the good part about that is that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, and wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And so the choices that Achan made was of disobedience, which brought the defeat, which brought the dismay, which brought the disgrace, which brought the death. Joshua, on the other hand, is going to be a totally different case, which we're going to study next week. Joshua had a personal initiation, which we're going to see next week, which led to a family initiation, which went on to some family participation. And as a result of his choosing, you're going to find the direct opposite happening of what happened with Achan's family here. Joshua's family is going to be perpetuated, whereas Achan's family was cut out. By the way, not all of Achan's family got killed. I'm sure there were some people that didn't participate with the sin, because Moses made it clear, only the people that participate in the sin get killed. If the people didn't participate or stood apart from that, they didn't get killed oftentimes. And so if they had some grown sons and daughters not living with him, they didn't get killed. But everybody that was a party to that got killed in that. And so that's very, very damaging for the family there. So his choices are bad choices because they had some secret power in his life, like number 3 says down there. Look at number 4 in your sheet there. It says, number four, do you understand that making godly choices gives you power to build the marriage of your hopes and dreams? Now, we're going to look at Joshua next week, and we're going to look at his personal initiation and his family initiation, which led to his family participation. And so Joshua chapter 24, I want you to have for a verse. How many's got this verse down pat? The First Chronicles 28:9. We still need another week to work on that. Stephen says, no, we need a month to work on that one. All right, we'll leave you with 1 Chronicles 28:9 again. So let's try and get that one. And the next time we'll move up to Joshua. Next time we're going to talk about Joshua and the decisions that Joshua made, because his choices are totally different. How many of y'all think that Israel learned a lesson from Achan's life?
Can I add something?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just amazed at the amount of pride that was in Achan. Because he had numerous times where he had opportunity to come out and confess.
That's right, he did.
Be humble. And just, you know, to have the whole of Israel to have to go through that humiliation process.
Amen.
And himself and his family and everything. And it was just kind of astounding, I guess. It kind of reminds me of when I was a little girl, though, because, you know, I'm like, well, if I don't confess, that, you know, mom and dad won't find out because they don't know. And, you know, it'll get shipped to somebody else or whatever, you know. And I remember going through that process, why in the world, you know, in the end, it's still me. Okay, well, I was so smart. But yeah, it was just seeing that, you know, the pride whenever you see that in scripture, it's like, wow, you know, how can we, you know, and we still think that we can. Somehow or another, God's going to overlook
Amen.
Me this time because I'm
a
special
worship. And he brought it on the whole family. And I've been through that as a kid as well. I've done something, and mom said, I'm going to spank all of you guys till somebody confess. I'm like, I ain't saying that. We all just got to get beat. You know, I'm not saying a thing. And then at the end, I still got found out and got beat again. So I could have just had one beating instead of getting two beatings. You know, like, you know, why do you fess up? I'm going to beat you because you lied on top of that. You're like, ah. But sometimes, I mean, you think that you're going to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think we're going to get away with it. Yes, ma'am?
And you have to wonder if the outcome would have been different if he had confessed. You know, if the Lord would have spared him and his family, if they come forward and confess their sin, and, you know, rather than keeping it a secret. Because that's what he promises us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us.
That's right.
Rather than, you know, punishing us for
sin.
I mean, we still have to deal with natural consequences, of course, but...
And it could have been different for Achan and his family. You know, of course, we will never know because he didn't. But again, that's the negative side of the choices. It all started with his heart. And we've got to make sure that we do guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 is a very, very good verse to memorize. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything originates in our hearts, as we saw over in Mark chapter 7:21. All those thefts and fornication, all that stuff. It starts here. Achan saw it. He coveted, and then he took it. So that could have been averted if he just said, you know what, I've got to clean this whole thing up and make sure that I'm doing right by God. And so let's continue to do that. Verse 1 Chronicles 28:9. We'll look at a positive situation next week, now that we've finished looking at Achan and his bad situation, but just what a bad choice can do to an entire family is what we're discovering. Yes, ma'am?
Even though all those negative things have taken place, you know, in the family and in, you know, of course, Achan and stuff, but you think of how the family got burned up, you know, and how when, you know, sin takes place in our families, you know, there's really like a burning that takes place in the heart, in our lives. But the greatest thing is God teaches such valuable lessons in those hardships, you know, because a lot of times we trust in ourselves and we think we're all that. You know, these different things happen in our lives, and God shows us that He's the one that's all that. You know,
Amen.
He's everything, and He wants us to take our trust and put our trust in Him. So we gain so much. We can gain so much from it, you know, as we're trusting God along the process, because we begin to see that, you know, your trust needs to be solely in your God, your
Amen.
Creator.
Amen.
And you need to take everything through Him, you know, so you learn more and more not to trust in yourself and not to trust that things are happening because of you, you know. It's like you learn to just keep God as your focus, amen, as your center.
Amen. And that's true. Again, with me, not only did I get spanked twice from being found out, then my sisters were mad at me because they got spanked unnecessarily. So I had, you know, all these things that could have been avoided. So I learned a good lesson. Don't get two spankings. Don't get your sisters mad at you. Just fess up in the beginning and you'll be good. Amen. Yes, look.
Hi, it's Pastor. I praise God for, you know, all this life of Joshua. It teaches me my whole life and been challenged and how I can walk with the Lord since I become a Christian.
Amen.
And it wasn't easy. And my pride before you should be like way overwhelming, but letter by letter, God's show me and how, you know, become a letter by letter to be humble and, you know, challenge for that. And I just, you know, love my husband, because when my husband and I got married, I was just a brand new Christian. I just got saved and I have no idea about, you know, going through the Bible, and I didn't ask him. And I said, you know how I can start about the book of Genesis and all this stuff. My husband used to pick up the Bible and show me this and that. And my husband watched me, seeing me through all this changings. God changed my life. And, you know, I'm still learning, and I'm still sometimes, you know, I'm not right. And my husband, he would just right there and he said, you did it again. And I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. I just ask for forgiveness and that God would work on me every day.
Amen.
And all the time that I see through with my kids, and I told them, don't learn from my mistake or your dad's mistake. Make it sure, because when you do sin, God, you know, make it sure that, you know, your sin will get find out.
Amen.
And I said, and I would direct the Bible to them, and I said, well, my dad doesn't come to church anymore. And I said, well, just pray for him.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to end with that. So praise God for that. So next week, 1 Chronicles 28:9, we'll look at Joshua and the good choices that he made. Amen. Father, thank you once again for the time to be here. Lord, help us as couples, Lord, as parents, as husbands and wives, to make godly choices, Lord, but at the end of the day, to know that we have your forgiveness. Lord, you said you never leave us nor forsake us. We can go forward and turn the wrath of God from our lives by confessing our sins to a faithful God who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Bless now in our service and the refreshments next door in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, you are dismissed.